The sermon will come from both Romans 12:21, but also from Isaiah 31, and I'm going to read them both. So turn to Isaiah 31, which is on page 592. We're going to read the first seven verses of Isaiah 31. It's on page 592 in your pew Bibles. Hear now the word of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. Yet He is wise and brings disaster. He does not call back His words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, against the helpers of those who work iniquity. The Egyptians are man and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out His hand, the helper will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and they will all perish together. For thus the Lord said to me, as a lion or a young lion growls over his prey, and when a band of shepherds is called out against him, is not terrified by their shouting or daunted at their noise, so the Lord of hosts will come down to fight on Mount Zion and on its hill. Like birds hovering, so the Lord of hosts will protect Jerusalem. He will protect it and deliver it. He will spare and rescue it. Turn to Him from whom people have deeply revolted, O children of Israel. For in that day everyone shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your hands have sinfully made for you. And then also from Romans chapter 12, we'll be focusing on verse 21, which is on page 948, but let me go ahead and read again verses 14 through 21 for context from Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we do thank you for your holy word. We thank you that you have given it to us. We ask that you would help us trust it, that you would hide it in our hearts, that it would bear fruit in our lives, we might live by it, walk by its light. And gracious Lord, we ask that you would be with the proclamation of your word this morning, that it would lift your name on high and accomplish your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Maybe you've read the book Les Mis or seen the play or the musical. There, the hero Jean Valjean is a thief who, after receiving hospitality from some monks at a monastery, robs them of all of their fancy silverware and dishes. And as he's leaving, he's caught. And the police bring him back to the monastery, and the monk says, "Brother, I think you forgot these candlesticks." And he gives them the gold or silver candlesticks, I don't remember which. And he's overcome. And from that point on, he becomes our hero, where he's no longer tempted to do the evil, but rather always trying to do what's right and what is good. And he's pursued relentlessly by the policeman Javert. And despite all the evil that Javert does, he receives nothing but good from Valjean. Until finally Javert himself is overcome. Although He realizes that he has been evil and takes his own life. His evil is stopped. It's overcome by the good that is done. This verse 21 of Romans chapter 12 is not just an effective summary of verses 14 through 20. But it's God's recipe for how we can fight against evil in this life, both within ourselves and external evil in the world, against the powers and principalities. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so it deserves a closer look this morning. Because it is a verse that is telling us that you are in a spiritual battle and evil is trying to overcome you. And it is also telling us that you can overcome it. Overcome evil with good. God is not telling you something that you can't do and that you should never expect to actually happen in your life. He's not just speaking here. Overcome evil with good. Sin can be defeated. So we need to ask ourselves, why do we so often fail at this? Why are we so often overcome with evil rather than are we overcoming evil with good? And the Bible, I think, tells us many things and warns us not to put our trust in these other places. We read from Isaiah, one of the places where it tells us, not to put our trust in strong governments or the powers of the world. Or if you want to use from Psalm 146 verse 3 or Psalm 118 verse 9, don't put your trust in princes. Because this is one of the ways that we're so often tempted to fight against evil. Because the evil that comes against us seems so strong, it seems so powerful, and so it becomes very natural for us to look around and say, where is the great power that can help me fight this evil? And the greatest power when you're looking around in the world is easily governments. Kings and princes and queens. They have great armies at their command. They can make laws that change our lives. They clearly can affect change in the world. And so it becomes very easy for us to put our trust in the princes, or in presidents, or in Congress. But the princes and kings and queens and congresses and presidents of the world cannot overcome evil. They can't take away evil from the world. They can't take away evil from our own hearts. And so God warns us against trusting them. Evil cannot be overcome with brute force of kings and queens. You can't even always trust that the government's going to be on the side of good. But even if the government is good, it's not the way that evil is overcome. It's not the way that evil is beaten. Government has the job of punishing evil. But punishing evil is not the same as overcoming it. Overcoming evil can only be done by a power that can change man's heart. We're warned elsewhere not to trust in mankind or in flesh. Jeremiah 17 verse 5 reads this. It says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." Because how often are we tempted to turn to just a larger group of people to help us overcome whatever evil has befallen on us? The sort of gang mentality. You roughed me up with your gang, I'll go get my gang and then we'll try it again. I'll get a bigger gang. I'll go into a group with more people and then I'll show you. Power and numbers, strength and people. I'll just descend further into my group to make sure that your group doesn't win or that your evil doesn't succeed. That's still trusting in man. It's trusting in flesh. And in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, he says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength." God is saying here, that won't work to overcome evil. And in fact, you will fail. Your heart will turn from God, and disaster will befall you. Not only will you not have overcome evil, but you'll have been overcome by evil. Don't trust in any earthly power. That's what we read in Isaiah 31. That speaks of going down to Egypt for help or relying on horses. Looking around for some sort of power, whatever it can be. We see it elsewhere in the Old Testament as well. Hosea chapter 5 makes a similar warning. The northern kingdom has just discovered its sickness. It's just discovered it's sinful, that it's being rotted out from the inside like a dead tree, like eaten from a moth, that eats the clothes. And what do? They turn to Egypt. And Hosea says, "Woe to you, don't do it. Egypt can't help you. No earthly power can help you." Isaiah has the similar message in 31. He says, don't go to Egypt. Don't trust their horses. Verse 3 specifically says, "The Egyptians are man and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit." Because any earthly power, whatever it might be, is not God's power. It can't take the heart of stone and change it into a heart of flesh. Earthly power will all eventually fail. And the Lord is the one who will win. As Isaiah implores them in verse 6 and 7 of 31, "Turn back to me, those from whom the people deeply revolted, O children of Israel. Cast away your idols of silver. Cast away your idols of gold. Don't look to the earthly powers. Look rather only to God. Don't try to fight evil in any other way than the goodness of God. Because no matter what power on earth you turn to, its help will be limited. We're even told you can't even trust in your own understanding." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. "Lean not on your own understanding." We get a beautiful example of how that fails to overcome evil in the Garden of Eden itself. The very first attempt to overcome Satan, and it failed. The first temptation, did God really say? And Eve rightly says, "Yes, He did. He sure did." And then he says, "Yeah, but maybe God doesn't want you to be like Him. Maybe He's holding something back from you." And we see Adam and Eve lean on their own understanding. They see the fruit, and it looks good to eat. And then they decide that they get to understand the tree of knowledge of good and evil in their own way. They have decided that it's useful to make me knowing good from evil. And they eat it. And they've been overcome. They fail. They listen to the lie. They use their own understanding. And they sinned, and they brought death into the world. Thus we're warned also not to lean even on your own understanding. No, when we ask ourselves, why do we fail so much? We can see all the warnings of what not to trust, and we can see that we so often do. We put our trust in the wrong place. And speaking broadly as the church today, it can be said we've lost trust in God's Word. We no longer trust the Word of God. We don't believe it will help. We don't believe that it still speaks to us today. We don't believe that it's relevant, or whatever other phrase you want to stick in there to be the excuse. We don't trust that God's Word can really overcome evil. So we don't read it. We don't make it a daily part of our lives. When something happens to us, we don't run to it. It's not the first place that we turn. We don't believe that the Word of God and the goodness of God has the power to really overcome evil. But this is what it says. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's God's Word saying you can overcome evil with good. And when we look at ourselves, we see that we so often don't. We so often fail. So how? How can we overcome evil with good? And the first thing that needs to be said, since we do so often fail, since we do so often put our trust in the wrong places, like princes or the flesh or worldly powers or our own understanding, the first way we overcome that evil is by repenting. Repentance is how we deal with sin, is how we deal with evil, is how we deal with any shortcoming before God. And repentance must be seen as a great and wondrous good that's given to us by God. Too often we downplay repentance. Repentance is what we do when we're caught. I've done something bad, I've got to repent. It's just the thing at the end. And therefore it's just an admission of failure, it's just an admission of our mistakes. Rather than seeing as the great moral good that causes joy in heaven. And one of the ways that evil is actually overcome. Instead we turn the other ways, trying to find some other answer for our evil or sin. And sin is never the answer to sin. David teaches us this in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, where he's caught in sin. He sleeps with Bathsheba, a married woman. And then she comes to him and says, I'm pregnant. And my husband Uriah is off at war. Everybody will know adultery has occurred. And so instead of repenting, David says, oh, I can fix this problem with sin. I'll bring Uriah back and we'll get him drunk and we'll send him home. And then that doesn't work. And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll just kill Uriah. I'll have Joab do it, and the Moabites will kill him in a battle, and then it'll look like it was an accident and everything will be fine, and my sin will have covered my sin. But then Nathan the prophet shows up. Then David gets it right. When he realizes what he's done, when he realizes how much he's been overcome by evil, the first way he overcomes evil is by saying, I have sinned against the Lord. And in this he does great good and overcomes evil. We're also told in places like the parable of the prodigal son, the lost sheep, and the lost coin, they show us that when repentance is done, heaven rejoices. It's not simply a moment of trying to deal with your mistake. It's not simply a moment of righting a wrong. It's a moment of extreme joy in the heavenly places. Repentance is indeed a good, and it excites the angels of heaven. Don't look down or downplay the significance of repenting from sin. It gives heaven great joy. And it's a way that evil is overcome in our own heart. Paul does give us this list, 14 through 20, of some examples that can best be summarized as love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you, as Jesus says. We're to show love to our enemies, and Paul reminds us that no vengeance is allowed, that we're to do acts of kindness like feeding our enemies and giving them drinks of water when they're thirsty. And one of the most powerful acts that can be done is to pray for your enemies. Pray for their good. Pray that their hearts would change. Pray for their salvation. Pray that the Lord would bless them. It's hard to hate someone while you're on your knees praying for them. And then that attitude will stay with you as you get off your knees and onto your feet. Paul talks about overcoming evil and the spiritual battle that we're in Ephesians chapter 6, when he talks about the armor of God. The armor that is given to us by God to help us stand and withstand the day of the evil one as he attacks us. He speaks of Christ's righteousness, truth, peace, salvation, and faith. But there's one weapon given to us in that armor of God. One offensive way to help us overcome our enemies. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have to trust the sword of the Spirit to help us overcome. The enemy will never be converted if they don't know the Word of God. Our thoughts will never be taken captive to the will of Jesus Christ if we know not His will. In Ephesians 6, Paul's discussing our war against the powers and principalities, and the weapon to win the war is the Word of God. Trust in the power of the Word. We sow it about, and God will give the increase. Some will find the good ground that will grow and bear fruit. And evil will have been overcome with the goodness of Jesus Christ proclaimed in His Word. And yes, there might be times where we're persecuted, even to the point of death. But that doesn't mean that evil has overcome good. Even in that, good can overcome evil. 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter speaks of being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And you'll find, if you read that chapter when you go home, a very similar discussion of what has taken place here in Romans 12. To not repay evil for evil, to bless our enemies. And one of the things he says, when you suffer unjustly for righteousness' sake, is always be ready to give a defense for the hope that's within you. To tell people the goodness of Jesus Christ. To tell them why it is you have such hope in life and in death. And in doing so, those who persecute you and revile you will be put to shame. They'll be undone. And evil will have been overcome with good. Because don't forget the beautiful promise of God that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Jesus tells us this. That not only is there a war, but evil won't overcome the church, but rather the church will overcome the gates of hell itself. God wins in the end. Christ is exalted and He is King now. And while His people might be attacked, persecuted, in this world now, they are not overcome. They will not be destroyed. There will be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. And through us putting our trust in Christ and trust in His Word to return good for evil, evil will be overcome. We need to know that the battle can be won through Christ. Christ working in us and with us is all we need to have victory over evil. And that includes our own sin with which we struggle. Sin is not greater than the Holy Spirit who is within you. He who is with us is greater than he who is against us. Paul does not tell us, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good if it's not possible. He doesn't encourage us to walk in the Spirit if ultimately the Christian will simply walk in sin the rest of his life. We can overcome evil with the goodness of Jesus Christ by trusting in His Word, by walking in the Spirit. Victory can be had. We are more than conquerors. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we must trust in the Word of God. Ask yourself this question this morning. Do you truly believe in the power of God's Word? Do you believe that it has the power to change the hearts of man? To take away the stony heart and turn it into a heart that says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To take the heart of a persecutor like Saul, who held people's coats while they stoned Stephen, who drug people out of their house in order for them to die, and turn him into Paul, the evangelist for Jesus Christ. Do you believe that the Word has that power? The answers are in God's Word, but they're not the wisdom of the world. The crucifixion of Jesus is foolishness and the stench of death to those who are unbelieving and perishing, but wisdom and life and salvation to the believer. It's the power of God. His Word carries His power. By faith we must trust and walk in it. Because it's Christ's power. It's His Word. Don't think of it as a tool that if we use it well, works for us. Think of it as God's power going forth. This is His Word. And it carries His power. The world may think it's foolish for us to repay kindness for evil or to pray for those who hate us. But we need to stop looking to the world for the ways to overcome evil, but rather to trust this is the power of God and He says so. We need to avoid idolatry. As Isaiah says here, there's the call in verse 7 of 31. Cast away His idols of silver and His idols of gold, which your hands have sinfully made for you. Repent of those idols. Repent of those things whose trust you've put instead of God, instead of His Word. Do not turn to the many idols that we often make for ourselves. Don't fall at the feet of things like princes and governments. Don't make the mistake that victory for a Republican Party or the Democrat Party is a victory for Jesus Christ. Don't mistake that more money and more wealth will be the answer to your problems, that if you just had a bigger bank account, you'd be better at fighting against sin. Don't make those mistakes. It's only Jesus, the one who is truly good, that defeats evil. And that evil can be overcome. Trust His Word. Follow His commands. Trust His promises. And in this, evil will be overcome with His goodness, both within ourselves and the world around us. So in short, show Christ to everyone. Even to your enemies, even to those who persecute you. Give them the defense of the hope. Tell them, this is Jesus, my Savior. Even show Christ to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself when you're struggling with sin, Jesus Christ died for me. Go to places like Romans 8 where it says nothing can separate us from the love of God and say, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Christ died for me. God loves me. And in it you'll see that sin and evil will melt away before the power of Jesus Christ and His gospel. Show Christ. Trust His Word. The battle can be won. Let's go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word that You have given us. The very breath of God in His Word, in Your Word. Let it go forth with power. Let us trust its power. Keep us from idols. Help us flee temptation and idolatry. And flee to You. Our rock, our high tower, and our salvation. Help us overcome evil with good. For we know we can because You have told us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.